So before we start the service, let me report, we're having morning prayer this morning. You're stuck with me because Paul Larson had a small stroke earlier in the week, was admitted to Akron General Hospital, had a stent installed on Friday during the day in his carotid artery, and is home now as of 4:30 yesterday afternoon. So picture this, from a 50% blockage of your carotid artery, a stent in, 24 hours later you're home. So it's blessings that that Paul is doing fine, and that, as we say, you're stuck with me this morning with the morning prayer. So, okay, now we'll start. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God and our Heavenly Father to set forth his praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation. And so that we may prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship him, let us kneel in silence and with penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins, that we may obtain forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Amen. Lord, open our lips,
and our mouths shall proclaim
your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The mercy of the Lord is everlasting. Come, let us adore him. Let's read the Jubilate at the asterisk. Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song.
Know this, the Lord himself is God.
He himself has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him, call upon his name.
For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting.
And his faithfulness endures from age to age.
Let's read responsively at the asterisk Psalm 149. This is the psalm all of these readings, the first lesson and the second lesson in the Psalms are all a part of the prescribed services for All Saints Day. So we're using those Bible passages today, even though today is not officially All Saints Day. Hallelujah! Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing his praises in the congregation of faithful.
Let Israel rejoice in his Maker.
Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King.
Let them praise his name in the dance.
Let them sing praise to him with tender old harp.
The Lord takes pleasure in his people.
And adores the poor with victory.
Let the faithful rejoice in triumph.
Let them be joyful on their beds.
Let the praises of God be in their throat.
And with a sword in their hand.
To wreak vengeance on the nations.
And punishment on the people.
To bind their kings in chains.
And their nobles with links of iron.
To inflict on them the judgment decreed.
It is the glory of our faithful people. Hallelujah.
Though the path of faith is lined with hardship, it is the path of life. God is good and attends to those who love him. A reading from the book of Ecclesiasticus. Now will I praise those godly men, our ancestors, each in his own time. The abounding glory of the Most High's portion, his own part, since the days of old. Subduers of the land in kingly fashion, men of renown for their might, or counselors in their prudence, or seers of all things in prophecy, resolute princes of the flock, and governors with their staves, authors skilled in composition, and forgers of epigrams with their spikes, composers of melodious psalms or discoursers on lyric themes, stalwart men, solidly established and at peace in their own estates. All these were glorious in their time, each illustrious in his day. Some of them have left behind a name and men recount their praiseworthy deeds. But of all others, there is no memory, for when they ceased, and they are as though they had not lived. They and their children after them. Yet these are also godly men whose virtues have not been forgotten. And for all time, their progeny will endure. Their glory will never be blotted out. Their bodies are peacefully laid away, but their names live on and on. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's read together in unison the song of Zechariah, Canto 16, on page 5. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and has set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior,
born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, for the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins in the tender compassion of our God. The dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. John's vision reveals the ultimate glory to be visited upon those who endure great hardship for the sake of the gospel. A reading from the Revelation to John. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "Those in white robes, who are they and where do they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. This is the parable of the parable of talents, and we'll hear a little bit more about talents during the message. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Let's read in unison Canticle 21 on the bottom of page 6. You are God. You are God, we praise you.
You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you. To you, all angels, all powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing an endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The greatest company of apostles praise you, the noble fellowship of prophets praise you, the white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you. Father, of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worth of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not shun the virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated in God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting.
So I've entitled this message, Living the Christian Lifestyle at Work, Monday through Saturday, or subtitled, God, It's Tough to Give You the Glory When I'm Worried About Making Payroll. It's kind of a personal message. The Afghan War is a recent and, for some, painful experience. Each of us, no doubt, has stories and memories to tell. I've heard a story about a battalion commander in Germany during the war. Although his soldiers prepared for battlefield deployment, only a few were sent into the war zone in Kandahar province. Many of those left behind were assigned guard duty at local schools. The commander visited one glum soldier at his post. Seeing his dejected mood and being concerned about his well-being, the commander engaged him in conversation. Private Mitchell, why this sad face? Why so downhearted? Sir, the soldier said, someday when my grandchildren ask me what I did during the Afghan War, I'll have to tell them I guarded a junior high school in Germany. It's easy to understand how that soldier felt. I can relate to the feelings of both the commander and the soldier. I jump back and forth between each of these roles maybe 100 times a day during the Monday through Saturday week. I have responsibility for a 35-person business that manufactures test equipment in Bedford Heights. MB Dynamics sells into a global market. There are four major suppliers of our kinds of systems, and guess what? We are the smallest of the four. We're a small business, not a corporate giant. We have limited talents and resources. Since in any small business or church, there are too few people to do too many things in too little time with too many expectations and too many critics, we seem never to have enough time, do we? Also, MB needs more products to satisfy our customers, so we have too few engineers to develop them. In addition, we're short on manufacturing people to build the vibration test systems we sold. We're lean and mean, as you may have heard it said. In church parlance, we've got too few talents. Sound familiar to Advent? Profitability is sometimes touch and go. Cash flow is sometimes touch and go. Our people need better tools to help them produce a quality product and to make themselves productive. In church stewardship language, we have too little treasure. Perhaps, like Advent, time, talent, and treasure. But back to our Afghan story. When you serve in the military, you're expected to serve in the role given to you by your commander. Sometimes that role seems unfair. Sometimes one battalion gets more weapons and munitions than another. Sometimes you're in harm's way, and sometimes your buddy is. Sometimes you enjoy fame and glory and get medals of honor. Sometimes you guard a high school. When you serve at MB, we're expected to serve in the role given us by our commander. There, I'm not the commander. Our customers are our commanders. They give us orders. We refer to them as purchase orders. Sometimes they want deliveries faster than we can make them. Sometimes their internal politics at work when we got the PO cause us grief later. Sometimes we can't make a profit for reasons in our control and outside our control. Occasionally, we just don't have enough time, talent, and treasure to do the job right or on time, or to the quality standards we and our customers expect. But we're still responsible for our actions, and we serve the customers as required. When we serve in the spiritual realm, the same is also true. God wants us to take whatever gifts and talents He's given us and use them wherever He places us in order to give Him the glory and to meet His expectations for us. Indeed, what the Lord values from us is our faithfulness. Let's look back at some of those gospel passages from Matthew and see how they apply to my ministry at MB, or more importantly, your ministry in your family with stretching the finances in retirement, or your work situation with a difficult boss, or your neighborhood with the forthcoming bond issue, or at Advent, where there never seems to be enough, you fill in the blank. I believe this parable has powerful teachings for us where we are today in 2019. Verse 15 says, "To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, to each according to his ability." God gives men and women different talents. Why not equality? Why did some get more and others less? I don't know. Only the Holy Spirit knows. Each servant in the parable was given a different amount. Think about this. One biblical scholar theorizes that in Jesus' time, 1 talent was worth 20 times a year's pay for a day laborer. So let me repeat that. 20 years of an annual wage for a day laborer was equivalent to 1 talent, according to this biblical scholar. In today's wages, 1 talent is worth $400,000. 5 talents is worth $2 million. 2 talents are worth $800,000. The apportionment was in keeping with the abilities of each servant. God doesn't create people to be equal in talent. Here is a clear case of God assigning different abilities to his people as he sees fit. We see this amplified in 1 Corinthians 12:11, where it reads, "But it is one and the same Spirit who does all this as he wishes. He gives a different gift to each person." This means that jealousy over others' abilities, discouragement over our own, or complaining about not having enough are all out of bounds for the Christian. And I believe this parable applies to us in our families, our communities, and our church. How often we find ourselves feeling pity or being angry because God has given us only 1 talent, not 2, or 2 engineers, not 5, or 5 leaders in the parish, not 10. Or we can all think where we'd like to have more talents in our own lives. But there's more. Jesus wants us to take what we have, little or great, and use it to serve him. One servant traded and made $2 million more. Another servant also doubled his and made $800,000 more. Those servants were faithful stewards of the property given them by the man. But the third, he was unfaithful. He was wicked and lazy. By implication, we are to be obedient and faithful servants with whatever Christ has given us for his service. We are responsible as lay people for what we do with these talents and gifts entrusted to us by him. We are accountable to the Lord, and that's an awesome boss for any of us to report to. The reward for work well done will be greater in different responsibilities. In verses 19 through 23, the two servants who had done well weren't told to take a vacation or relax or retire. They were given more areas to care for. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The exhortation isn't meant to make us weary, but rather to give us a vision of what the Lord has in store for our faithfulness. Also, in the spirit of accountability and responsibility for our actions, in the spiritual as well as the secular realm, we see that the one who is punished is the one who doesn't use what he's been given. Verses 24 to 27 show us that the servant with the 1 talent didn't lose it, he simply didn't use it. Furthermore, because he didn't use it for his master's gain, it was taken from him and given to the servant with the most talents. Clearly, he didn't need more, but he was rewarded for being a willing, diligent, and faithful servant. And as a final act of disgrace, and worse in the spiritual realm, the last servant was kicked out of the master's house. Verse 30 concludes this passage, As for this worthless servant, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We will be held accountable for how we use the gifts God has supplied us. Finally, verse 29, for to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. If women and men faithfully use their God-given talents, their responsibilities will increase. If they're unfaithful, they'll lose their opportunities. Failure to use what we have for the Lord is also out of bounds for the Christian. In the military, you're expected to serve in the role given to you by your commander. In the church, we lay people can and must take the initiative and take responsibility for using our gifts to further God's kingdom. Leadership can come from anywhere. We don't have to wait to be asked or told what to do. We have gifts. We have talents. Take a risk. Step out. Others will affirm us in the work we do. While one may have more or less talents than another, the one thing God wants from all of us is our faithfulness. That means whatever spiritual gifts might be and whatever responsibilities God has seen fit to assign us, God wants us to invest our gifts and talents in a way that will benefit our family, our employer, our community, our church, and to bring God the glory. Take time today to thank the Lord for the gifts and abilities He's entrusted to us as stewards, and pray for our eyes to see the opportunities He's giving us to faithfully use those gifts for service in His kingdom. Pray that we see all the occasions of life as opportunities to minister as parents, spouses, neighbors, grandparents, employees, friends, volunteers in hospice work, volunteers in the nursing home. What does Jesus want us to do right where we are to put our gifts to work for His ministry and His glory? Amen.
Peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's greet one another in the name of the Lord. So we've got some clipboards this morning. So the two words this morning are for next Sunday's Veterans Day observance. So if you have family members who are either veterans or are currently serving in the armed services, please add their name and branch of service to the clipboard, and we'll honor them and observe their faithful service to our country next Sunday. Right now, I don't know what next Sunday holds in terms of Holy Eucharist or morning prayer. Stay tuned, we'll see how that unfolds. Paul is in the hospital. I can report that based on his own text messages to me over the two or three days he was in the hospital, I conclude he was as ornery and difficult to be alone with as he was, a month ago. You may remember Paul had some incidents several months ago, a similar blackout. And so I think in a lot of ways what happened on Monday night was a blessing. His carotid artery was 50% blocked. And according to his doctors, they don't normally put a stent in until it's about 70% blocked. But in his particular case, apparently the artery was ulcerated, and there was concern that it might be plaque that would release from the blockage. And of course, it goes from here to here and be dead. So they decided to put the stent in, and as I said earlier, on Friday he had the stent in, Saturday afternoon he's home. So amazing medical technology. So let's have a quick word of prayer for Paul. Lord God, we thank you for this faithful servant. We thank you for blessing us with his presence in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for working through all the medical staff who have administered care and love and diagnoses and corrective actions. We pray, Lord, that he will come through this in flying colors with health restored. Thank you, Lord, for how he trusts you with his life. Thank you, Lord, for reinforcing and affirming that faith in you. Thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that have been lifted up on Paul for him. May he continue to improve and return to good health. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Pete.
Good morning. We are going to gather again for a church dinner, which will be a Mexican night on November 30th, which is a Saturday at 6:00. It is free. So come one, come all, and we'll all gather on the 30th of November.
Good, thank you.
Does that help?
Next week.
Oh, okay.
And I now stand in for Teddy Augustine. Announcing, you want to announce me? So, ladies' night out is tomorrow night. The venue is in the bulletin. Ladies, let Teddy know if you're going to be able to come. Finally, I have a thank you note to read. This is from Wendy and Jim Johnson. Wendy, as you know, is Joan Joy's daughter. Here's the note. Dear Advent family, Jim and I are overwhelmed with the amazing blessing you have been to our family. Your generosity, your prayers, your love is greatly appreciated. We want to thank you for all you have done. We so appreciate you all. P.S. Thank you also for taking such great care of my mom. She loves you all so much. So do you have an update from Jim on his current condition?
Yes, he went to the doctor about a week ago, and everything is fine. Although, because he has lost a kidney, he has to go to a kidney specialist every so often to be checked, and he has to have an MRI to make sure everything's that one kidney is functioning properly. But other than that, he's back to his normal self, except as far as bending over or things like that. That bothers him a little bit. But he's able to get around and drive and do pretty much everything.
So would you like to lead some prayer to that effect? So today is the first Sunday of the month, and we have November birthdays and anniversaries to celebrate.
Yeah. Well, you start.
It's not coming up.
Well, we can go back there. So, Velka, I think you have a birthday, yes?
Yes, I do.
Well, good.
I'm a three-year-old.
I'll let you come back here. Let's first of all lift up in prayer Velka having a November birthday.
Excuse me?
Lord God, we thank you for Velka's life. We thank you for giving her another year to worship you and love you and serve you. Thank you, Lord, for her faithfulness. Thank you for the way you've cared for her through the ups and downs of this life. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for Velka. We thank you for her faithfulness in coming to church as often as she does. We thank you especially for the way she loves you and worships you. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks for her birthday. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. So what went on in your lives however many years ago that you all decided to have November weddings?
Family could be available. Thanksgiving weekend.
I see.
We got married on All Saints Day.
I was doing Halloween.
So one was a saint and one was a...
Don't ask questions.
All right. And you?
49.
49, okay.
He wasn't over 60.
60?
He celebrated 60 years.
60 years, that's awesome.
37.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these faithful servants. We thank you for their marriage. We thank you for how they have been examples to their sons and daughters and grandchildren. We thank you, Lord, for helping them weather the storms of Mary's life and come through praising you and honoring you with their lives and their worship. Lord, we pray that you give them many more years to celebrate their life together. We thank you, Lord, for how you bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Years, that's awesome.
60.
49, 37. How many, right?
40.
Okay. So there is cake in the parish hall to celebrate and commemorate birthdays and anniversaries. Okay, let's continue the service on page 7 in the bulletin. Let's recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Show us your mercy, O Lord,
and grant us your salvation.
Clothe your ministers with righteousness.
Let your people sing with joy.
Give peace, O Lord, in all the world.
For only in you can we live in safety.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let your way be known upon the earth.
Your saving help among all nations.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
Nor the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And sustain us with your Holy Spirit.
Let us with gladness present the offerings of our life and labor unto the Lord.
Thank you.
Drive far from us all wrong desires. Incline our hearts to keep your law and guide our feet into the way of peace, that, having done your will with cheerfulness during the day, we may, when night comes, rejoice to give you thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
A call for guidance. Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life, we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer for missions. O God, you have made us, made of one blood, all the peoples of the earth, and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold, pour out your Spirit on all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The following collect is one for All Saints Day. Almighty God, by your Holy Spirit, you have made us one with your saints in heaven and on earth. Grant that in our earthly pilgrimage, we may always be supported by this fellowship of love and prayer, and know ourselves to be surrounded by their witness to your power and mercy. We thank you for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whom all our intercessions are acceptable through the Spirit, and who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Please turn now to the back of the bulletin, and let's read through the necrology from 2019. Those who have become saints. Connie Boyce, Julie Cracha, Charlie Jate, Cinnamon Keller Williams, Snowball Rice, Joe Tikolchi, Joe Tucholsky, Jennifer Buck, Terry Hunt, Jason Michael Kelly, Julio Rivera, Mary Ann Smolinski, and Julia Ward. Let's also pray today for the persecuted church. Today is the National Day of Prayer for those persecuted around the world. The Voice of the Martyrs are one of the most prominent organizations that services, supports those martyrs wherever they may be. We give our Good Friday offering to the Voice of the Martyrs each year. Let's pray for the persecuted church. Lord God, we thank you for those who stand tall, standing for you, putting their lives at risk, losing their lives, because they are persecuted, because they are Christians, because they are believers. We think of those who are persecuted in Muslim countries. We pray for those who are persecuted in other countries. Lord, give them strength. Help them to stand against the evils that are wrought on them by culture and society and governments. Lord, we thank you for the witness of all persecuted Christians. We lift them up. We pray for their well-being. We pray, Lord, that you give them strength and courage to stand under the circumstances they find themselves and keep them faithful to their beliefs, faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Finally, join me in the prayer at the bottom of page 11. Our Father in heaven,
we pray with our hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in our Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership and the children of our convergence. Lord, we ask that you lay bare our hearts in this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let's say together the general thanksgiving on page 12. Almighty God,
Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your unimaginable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ. For the means of grace and the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth and the age to come, life everlasting.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord your God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Oh, that's an orange one. I want the orange one.